You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I want us to look at this story today in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 14. And really, this is a story that's familiar to most of us. It's about Jonathan and his armor bearer. It's a story of courage and faith and them refusing to settle in the midst of great opposition. They were in this place camped in Gibeah, and the Gibeah actually is a mountainous place. So in essence, when you read the Old Testament, you've got to remember it's speaking about metaphors or life principles. And so they're in a mountainous place. They're on a mountain. There's a mountain before them. Mountain. In other words, it's actually synonymous with a challenge. And so they're in a challenge position that the army of Israel does not want to fight against the Philistines, and they're scared and afraid. And there's obviously thousands of them, and these two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer, go, "We can't stay here. I know it's a mountain. I know there's a lot before us. I know it's going to be tough to win, but we can't stay here." And today I want to stir that spirit that says, don't settle, but make sure that we don't get stuck in something that feels safe and comfortable. When you're in the camp, it feels safe and comfortable. Why even bother going and taking back what is theirs? The reason is because on the other side of Michmash, the other mountainous place that they needed to go to, where the Philistines had an outpost and were in control, was because on the other side of that mountain was an open, spacious place, their future, their destiny. But sometimes, even when you can see what you need to do, being in the place of comfort is easier. But if you're in church today, you're audacious. You shouldn't actually be here with a mentality that says, I want comfort. You got to get to the place where you understand that being, you know, uncomfortable is what is our purpose, and being comfortable with it. 1 Samuel chapter 14, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us go to the Philistines." It's hot in here, sorry, excuse me. I just want to show you my guns. Or maybe my beer barrel, one of the two. Thank you. What was I saying? Yes. And so Saul said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was the captain of the army, and he was Jonathan's father, and he didn't want to tell him because his father would have said, "No, you can't go." So often we actually allow the voices around us to stop us doing what we're purposed to do. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozes and the other was called Senna. One cliff stood to the north towards Michmash. I always tell people I love this name in the Bible because I'm a Yorkshire boy. And who knows that Yorkshire boys love their mashed potatoes. I love coming here, finding an old pub in the middle of the Dales and getting, oh, those big bangers and mash and a Yorkshire pudding with gravy. And, oh, I tell you, my mum used to make them good, but nothing like when you come back to home. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come on, let us go to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. I love this. He's got a leader, and it's unusual in today's society because we're taught to challenge everything. But part of the problem that we have, that everybody's challenging everything and we're actually getting nothing done. I come to the English airport. Sorry to say, I'm an Englishman. But the English airport infrastructure has gone up in price and got more useless every time I've come. If you're in the airport commission, I apologise in advance. But part of the reason is because nobody's leading. Nobody cares. You ask people a question, my bag gets stuck, and I ask the person that says, "For any help, ask me." "Oh no, don't ask me. It does say that on my shirt, but it's not to do with baggage." I'm like, how am I supposed to discern that? the gift of the Spirit or whatever it is. But the truth is that we've got to recognize that here is the armor bearer that says, whatever you ask me to do, I'm ready. I'm here. Church, we need an army of people who say, come on, we can do this. Come on, Chester needs to know Jesus. Come on, we need to reach this region like never before. And do you have in mind, his armor bearer said, go ahead, I am with you in heart and soul. Jonathan said, come on, then we will cross over towards them and let them see us. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will say, where are you, and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up. Can I just say, when God gives you a way of thinking, more often than not, it is counter to the natural. Let's take a building we can't afford. That's stupid. Maybe we should wait another 15 years till we can afford it. But if you know anything about the God we serve, he wants you to put faith on the table, because what attracts the attention of God is people who step up in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not what we have, what we're believing for. And so when you get it in your spirit, you say it, the average person goes, what are you talking about? But people of God like you and you and you go, yes, we can do this. Surely we can. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes where they're hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me, because they said, come up. This must be God. Come up. And so Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind them. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in the area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and the field and those in the outpost and the raiding parties. And the ground shook. It was a panic. Hear this. It wasn't a panic because these two men were so powerful. It wasn't a panic because, you know, the army had nothing else to do. It wasn't a panic because they'd all been sleeping. It was a panic. Why? Because it was a panic sent by God. You see, when you have the faith to go beyond what the comfort says, you will actually step into a place where God shows up, because God is attracted by our faith, not by our ability. So we've got to recognize that all we need to do is hear and obey, and we can step into what God has purpose for us. But if we look at this, they were in Gibeah in their camp in the safety of numbers. But they then had to go to the camp of the, in this case of the Philistines, and they had to go to the camp of Michmash. Michmash actually means morally bankrupt. So they had to leave their safety and their comfort to a place of moral bankruptcy. We live in Chester. We live in England. We live in the world in which we live today. And if you haven't noticed, we can walk out of this place of comfort and we walk into a very moral, bankrupted society in which we live. But we don't walk into it with fear. No, no, no. We walk with that sense of, if you tell me, I will go. If you position me, I will go. We don't get consumed by what we see. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. But on the way there, they've got to go to Bozeth. On one side is the cliffs of Bozeth, and Bozeth actually simply means progressively getting worse. So they're going to go from where they are to a place that is progressively getting worse is what they've got to walk past. Whew, look at our world today. Look at the airports. Oh, no, sorry. That's just a little bit of pain that I'm still dealing with. Help me, Jesus. But it's progressively getting worse. So on one side of them, they're looking up at the problem. They're looking up at the mountain called Michmash. They're looking at moral bankruptcy, but God is causing them to go through a place that is progressively getting worse. That's one side. But the other side is a place that is actually called Senna. Senna actually means difficult or complicated. So now they're going through this place where they're actually walking and they're progressing along, and it's progressively getting worse and it's getting difficult and complicated. Wow, that sounds like some of our lives. That when we decide we're going to buy a house, who knows that it always gets more difficult and complicated the day we decide we're going to do it. Who knows that when we decide we're going to build a church, it's amazing how many regulations can flag up when you actually have a conversation with the council and they tell you one thing, and it's even in their interest because this building belongs to them. So to move there, it's in their interest that they get this back and we get a... But no, because it's not about the council. It's not about what we see. We need to understand that we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. We're going to walk through that difficult, hard place. We're going to recognize that it's progressively getting worse. But if we can take back what the enemy has stolen, moral bankruptcy, there's an open place that's waiting for us. God has it for us. So Jonathan and his armor bearer, they risked it all for great victory. What are you prepared to risk? Well, I come to church. Well, I don't mean to be rude, and maybe I'll get fired from the trustees, but the reality is this church is not the church you come to tick a box to be in church on Sunday. This is a church that says we don't exist for ourselves, we exist for those that don't yet know him. So we've got to rise above how we feel and step into what God has for us. The spiritual principle here is very simple. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. We're not here to save our lives. We're here to win lives that don't yet know Jesus. Don't settle. So what can we learn from Jonathan and his armor bearer? The first thing is, see the possibility, not the problem. Too often we look at our challenges and we think, what can I do? We look at barriers and we say, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do it. And sometimes that may even be true. But when God has called us, don't expect that it's going to be easy. But if we have a view that says, I'm going to see the possibility, not the problem, we can step into all God has for us. Can you see the opportunities of God in your place right now? Can you see the opportunities of God in your workplace, in your family? I'm talking about your family that doesn't yet know Jesus. I'm talking about your boss who doesn't do what you think he should do or she would do. But actually, there's something in you that says, I can see what God is up to. I know that there's possibility in the middle of my problem. I know God's got a plan in the middle of this. To me, what's happening with the building across the road is simply timing. It's never going to be a problem. It's just timing. So it's our possibility that we're being held back. It doesn't take God by surprise. So he's building something in us so that when we step in, we're ready for all that he has for us. It's a possibility, not a problem. I heard a story when I was preparing this about the King of Saudi. And the King of Saudi actually loves to play golf. Anybody here like to play golf? Yes, that's right. You do, Josh. I'm sure you don't really play golf. You play hit and hunt. He hits the ball and then he hunts around and he pays money to do that. I only know that with experience because that's exactly what I do. But the King of Saudi got a famous golfer by the name of Arnold Palmer. Most of us know that name. And Arnold Palmer... He employed him and he flew him in from America on his private jet. He had him stay with him for 2 weeks. This King of Saudi has his own private golf course at one of his, whatever it is, castles or whatever it is. And he would go out every morning, they'd play. Then Arnold Palmer would tell him a few things about his game, and he did that for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, the King of Saudi said to him, I'd like to buy you a gift. Arnold Palmer would be a very wealthy man in his own right. And he said, I don't need a gift. You've paid me. You've looked after me. I've just been privileged coming. He said, no, I want to buy you a gift. And Arnold Palmer said, well, I collect rare golf clubs. You know, ones that have been played by famous players that are either alive or have passed away. And so if you can find one, that would be great. Thought nothing more of it. 6 months later, he receives a letter in the post. And this letter comes and there's a seal on the back of the King of Saudi. He opens the letter and he says, this is a deed for 500 acres of property, a golf club that I bought you. He hadn't just bought him a golf club, he bought him a whole golf course with the club included. You see, we see a golf club. But kings see a golf club. They see so much more than we can see. But actually, we serve the King of Kings, not the King of Saudi. And therefore, when we ask him for something, he doesn't think the little thing that I've just got to pay the bill. Oh, I've just got to see the kids come. I'm believing for my kids to get saved. I believe. But God actually sees
something far greater, and we need to live our lives not according to where we're stuck, where it feels comfortable, but mishmash, where we're going, where we understand that God has a greater plan. Do you see the possibility or do you see the problem? What do you see? Don't settle. Many years ago, as I said before, I paid my own way to come to your church. Little did I know that when I got here, I was just coming to serve my friend, Pastor Glenn Barrett. Leonie and I, since that time, we were here in December, January. We had holidays with them, all our kids, all their kids. And we've developed an incredible friendship. But I've been on the trustee board. I didn't come to speak so that I could be on the trustee board. Trust me. It's funny to call it a trust board. But anyway, and I was it's spelled differently. But I was on this trust board. I was in this place. And now I sit here and I see what God has established in Cardiff. And what God has established in Geneva, and what God has established in Sheffield, and multiple locations in Manchester. And now the bigness of what God's about to do in Chester. But the truth is, I just came to serve a friend. We can pull out of this passage an understanding of the problem or the possibility, but we can also look at the power of partnership. Who are your armor bearers? Who are your friends? Because we live in a world that's connected like never before, but we are more individually disconnected than ever before. Oh, I know what's going on with my friends' kids. I saw it on Instagram last night. But we know what it is in picture form. But are we putting the energy in to be connected? When you go up the hill, who's saying, I'm there with you? Because we can be in church, the village that's going to help little Isaac become who he's purposed to be, or not, if we don't get involved. Friendship, relationship, partnership is so much more than just a statement. Surround yourself with those who will share your faith, vision, friendship. You know, it's so important that we understand that even when we were talking about little Isaac, that Caitlin and Matt don't just make this a community. Get involved. Because Isaac's only going to become what he sees his parents are. It's important for us to understand the purpose that God has given each one of us. Jonathan's armor bearer exemplified loyalty and support. Their bond demonstrates the importance of having people around you who are going to encourage you when you don't feel like going up, when you don't feel like going through, when you don't do what you know God's calling you to do. Who's standing with you? Don't settle. There's a little photo I want to put up on the screen. It's of a young 14-year-old boy. And that young 14-year-old boy is me. You're thinking to yourself, but your teeth are so perfect. Oh, you can't see it on that screen, but I used to be able to get a 50p coin in between every one of my front teeth. Thank God for modern technology and veneers. I praise God for them. But I hate that photo. Why would I put it in front of all of you? I hate it. My mum loves it. My wife's put it on her Instagram account from time to time. They all go, how cute, wow. But there's two things I hate about it. One, look at what I'm dressed in. But who can remember going to church 30 years ago and remembering that we always went in, that was underdressed. My dad had a suit and three-piece suit, tie, the whole deal. We had to go to church that way. So as a young boy, all my friends did not dress that way on a Sunday. But I did. And worst, my grandma loves that jumper. Why? Because she knitted it for me. How embarrassing. Oh, what a beautiful jumper that is on a beautiful boy. Be quiet, Grandma. I'd say that in my head, not out loud.
But I used to tell my friends every Sunday I was going to see my grandma for lunch, and she insisted we all dressed up. That's why we dressed up. So Liam across the road thought I'd been going to my grandma's faithfully every week for 20 years. Because it was embarrassing that I went to church, because none of my friends went to church. But do you know what the enemy did with that? He went, you missed your most productive years of your life. You never invited a friend. Now you're a youth pastor. And now you're, what can you say to the young people? Because you never invite a friend. Don't tell them to invite their friends to church. And I got stuck in my thinking. I got stuck in my belief system. Because what the enemy does is when we're young or when something's emerging in our life, he tries to get us to do something that in a moment we can say, God, I made a mistake. Will you forgive me? And it's gone. But because it happened for so long, we think, but even if I said that, would God really forgive me? And it might be in something you did in the workplace, or it might be a relationship in your family. It might be a situation with your parents, but you're stuck. We don't talk about it. Hi, good to see you. God bless you, brother. Great to see you. Oh, yes. But every time we come to church, we can't break into the next level because we get stuck. So we find ourselves sitting in the middle of the camp going, I'd love to take Mishmash, but even at Audacious, it's tough. I hear all the great things that are happening. I live off what God is doing. That kids' camp was so awesome. And what we're doing with young people, but internally we want to be a part, but I'm stuck. But the Bible says you are an overcomer. Mountains are there to be taken in Jesus' name. Mountain, you shall be removed, the Bible says. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck on past mistakes, hurts, fears, past disappointments. Because we've got mountains to take. Mishmash is ours in Jesus' name. The enemy loves us to get stuck. And what it forms is something called shame. And shame is something that causes us to go into the darkness. We can't talk about it. We don't know if we're right or wrong. We're consumed by it. It makes decisions that ultimately in my mind that make me make decisions that aren't the best decisions for me because I'm riddled with shame, caught in this place, trapped. But you see that little boy that's on the screen did not talk to one of his friends about Jesus. The most potent years of his life. So when I see that photo, it reminds me of, oh, you missed the moment. But I can either get consumed with what I missed, or I can use what I missed to motivate me to never miss it again. Do you know, just in the things that we've done in the last 10 years, in the nations, Papua New Guinea and Fiji and now in South Africa and Kenya and other places, we've seen over 330,000 say yes to Jesus at our events. Mostly under the age of 25. Do you know the Planet Shakers, just since the church started, has seen over 200,000 people in local church say yes to Jesus. But I can get caught on the red jumper. Or I can say, God, greater is he that is in me. It's difficult. It's tough. It feels like it's getting progressively worse, but I'm going to keep going through that passage till I get to the place and take back what the enemy has stolen. Musicians, you can come. In the circus, they get an elephant. And elephants, if you've never encountered one, are big. I've had one charging my van in the middle of one of the game reserves in Africa, and they're running towards you, and the guys in this little combi van go, can't get it into gear, and I'm like, we're going to die, and we've all seen the Instagram posts of the tusk coming, lifting the van, and I'm thinking all of those things, and then suddenly, and then we're going so fast backwards, this elephant coming towards us, and they are big, way bigger than this van we're in. But when they start out, isn't it interesting that the enemy targets us when we're young? Not just young of age, but young in maturity and faith, starting out in something. Hey, by the way, Dan, you who are up here, I've never met you, Dan, but you did a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. I don't do this very often, but I text Glenn. I said, gee, that Dan's a good guy. He's got to lead one of our churches one day. And the good news is, Leonie turned to me and said, oh, he could lead a campus. She didn't even know that I'd just text Glenn that. And then Glenn comes back, yeah, you're right. Yes, that'll happen. So, sorry, you're in for life. But when we're young, the enemy targets us. It's no coincidence that family breakdown happened when you were going to break into something. It's no coincidence that bankruptcy came just when you're about to break through. It's no coincidence that right now you're hitting things that you just never expected. But don't settle, because a little baby elephant gets a little chain strapped to its leg. They put this smallest of posts in the ground, but because it's only small and it's got limited muscle strength, it walks around, and it just walks around this post. Looks around, can't do anything. 5 years goes by, walks around. 10 years go, suddenly it's bigger than the combi van. Its strength could literally take that post out in an instant. But because it got trapped, it got stuck in its thinking, it doesn't believe it can. So you got these mature animals walking around thinking they can't. To me, that's a symbol of the church sometimes. Not in all areas, but in small areas in our lives. We're stuck. I don't want to settle. I want to take Big Mash, but I'm comfortable being comfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. But you know, an elephant of that size could literally just go like that, and they're free. But let's put that into the spiritual. We've got a Father in heaven, the King of Kings, who wants to give you a club, not a club. But we're locked. And today, He wants you to understand that He sent His Son to die on a cross so that you could have shame off you. Doesn't matter whether you've spoken about it or you haven't, you've felt powerless, you've felt trapped, you're comfortable, but you're actually feeling uncomfortable because you are so comfortable. It's no coincidence. I felt like Mary Street, like I feel like I'm standing right here today and there's a building across the road, because it's not about the building. It's about the immature little baby that's growing up, Chester campus. Time to get off. But it doesn't start with us, it starts with you. Shame off you. And it may be the smallest little thing, but I want to tell you, do you see the problem or do you see the possibility? Because He's waiting for you. And then when we recognize that we are a village, there's partners all around us. Come on, we can do this. Surely we can. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. While we look at Isaac standing on the stage here, and he's looking at the sun, and then he looks at, you know, and he's like, ah, we're all like, ah, and I'm about to have a grandchild, so I'm, ah, ah.
Because in all of us, there's something that goes innocence. No pain. Nothing gone wrong. The whole world's available to him. But with Jesus in our corner, it's available to you and to you and to you. And it's time for us to shame off you. Whatever might have happened, shame off you. However you might have felt, shame off you. It's time for us to get those chains off and step into what God has for us.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.